And good morning and welcome to today's Pride Report on Double K Country. I'm Mike Harvey. Thanks for joining us. The Pride Report brought to you as a collaborative effort with Nevada Regional Medical Center and Double K Country. And it's time once again to talk about some of the happenings over at NRMC. And to help us introduce our special guest today is an administrative assistant and a foundation director and any other titles we can throw on her, Jennifer Eaton. Jennifer, how are you?
Good morning, Mike.
Well, tell us about our guest today. I'm sure a lot of people have not had the opportunity to meet him yet.
Exactly. I brought Jason McCormick with me this morning, and he is serving as our chief restructuring officer. So we are happy to have him at NRMC and wanted to bring him and introduce him to everybody this morning.
All right. So tell us a little bit about him before we actually dive into what he's doing.
Yeah. So Jason has over 28 years experience in rural healthcare. He received his bachelor's in finance and accounting from Utah State University.
Go Aggies.
Yes. And then his master's from the University of Texas, San Antonio.
Go Roadrunners. I know them all.
Yes. He has led numerous turnaround projects in various organizations. The last 8 years, he has decided to provide that consulting services and share his expertise with other organizations. He's also authored a model for advanced organizational leadership called Diamond Distinction BOS. So we are very excited to have him and help us in any way he can.
Well, very good. Well, we're going to swing the microphone over to Jason. And first of all, Jason, I don't know how long you've been in town, but welcome to Nevada and to the program today. Appreciate you joining us.
It's an honor to be here. I've been here working with the organization since the 1st of February, and I've been very well received by everyone in the community as well as in the hospital. It's a tremendous privilege to be here and assist in this important project.
That's awesome. And tell us, some people may want a definition, so before we kind of dive into what you're doing, tell us, what does a chief restructuring officer do?
Well, that's an interesting term. I think it was kind of created for this project, but basically what we're saying here is that in order for us to move into the next phase of this turnaround, the turnaround began in January of 2022 with us, the organization, the nation exiting the pandemic. And so in order for us to move into the next phase, we have to take the way we're working as a team, our leadership models and practices in the organization, and take them to the next level, because it becomes harder and harder to achieve improvements the further you go into a project.
So what have been some of the initial steps that you've taken so far at NRMC?
Well, there's been, two groups that are working on this. My colleagues, Eric Schell and Cameron Smith, came in and did a series of interviews and gathered a lot of data, and they're preparing what's called a strategic financial and operations assessment. And that'll be out here in the next couple of weeks, and it provides a lot of detailed recommendations on, you know, where have we come from, how are we sitting right now, how can we move forward. My role is to be involved in the day-to-day processes with the leadership team, help to implement that, but also help to restructure those organizational leadership practices.
So is this, and when you're doing, daily or weekly, are there routine steps, I guess, that you've had in other projects that seem to be universal wherever you might go?
Well, we find the first thing that is important to do is to work with the board. And so this Friday, I will be doing a training with the board on advanced board governance practices. So that sets the example for the tone for the whole organization, that in order to achieve where we need to get to, we all need to learn and we need to adopt more advanced practices. So that is the first one. The second one is to work with the administrative team. I've spent a lot of time getting to know them, getting to see how they're working together, interacting with other important groups such as the medical staff, department managers, and begin to provide the recommendations and assist them in implementing these advanced organizational leadership practices.
So do you and you may have answered this, but do you and your team, I guess, do you visit with every department in the hospital, or do you get to the administrative side of things in NRMC and then ask them to implement those things?
No, I'm interacting with everyone. I have a meeting that's being scheduled tonight to just get to know some of the staff, some of their experiences, some of their recommendations. Of course, I've been going around meeting with the city, the county, with the board. My intent is to interact with all of the different constituencies for the organization, including the community. That's why we're here today, mm-hmm. is to reach out and make a connection.
So what have been some of the initial steps that have been taken so far at the hospital?
Initial steps. Let me tell you some of the initial findings, first of all. So we did an employee engagement survey, and we're in the process of compiling that. But one of the most important questions that we ask is, do you find your work at the hospital to be meaningful? And we're seeing that those are scoring, you know, nines and tens out of a scale of 1 to 10. Majority of the people at the hospital really enjoy and find great purpose in the work that they're doing there. We also found that on another score that would you recommend the hospital and its services to family and friends? And most are scoring eights and nines. And so the employees that are there, over 400 of them, really do believe in their purpose to provide quality patient care and in the abilities of the organization to provide a good job. There are a few things that we need to improve, no doubt. But the more that we help support the employees, that we help them to feel valued, appreciated, supported in their work, that feeling passes on to our patients. We attract more patients. And that's where we become financially successful.
So what are some of your initial thoughts and perception of NRMC?
My initial thoughts, this is a high-performing team across the board. As I've participated in a variety of meetings with administration, with the board, with the medical staff, these are individuals that are very well-trained and are trying to do their best to deal with this aftermath of the pandemic, the employees and everyone. I've been around and spoken with different people, and so I would say that they're very high-performing, very dedicated individuals. I felt very welcome here. No one has otherwise, you know, given me the cold shoulder, and I greatly appreciate that. I feel that we have a tremendous base of patients. We do over 55,000 clinic visits in a year. We have a variety of primary care physicians, specialty physicians. We have a full complement of services within the organizations, from lab, radiology, respiratory therapy, infusions, and a variety of inpatient services. And it's excellent that we're providing OB services, such a critical service in a community. And so I think we have the basis, and we're getting close. We're within the 10-yard line of getting to a break-even in the organization. But that's not sufficient. We have to get to the point where we're producing some additional cash flows for the organization so that we can reinvest in equipment and into our employees and their training and things of that nature. And so, for every dollar at this point, if we can increase our patient volumes by 1%, that gives us a 1% bottom line. And so it's very powerful at this point, and the real focus is about connecting with the employees, helping them to feel valued, appreciated, and supported.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but how important is it to note that this is not a problem that's unique to Nevada Regional Medical Center? I know you've done a number of these, so this is a nationwide issue, is it not?
Very much so. You know, what's going on since Obamacare was passed back in 2010, the federal government is changing the model or the method in which they reimburse healthcare overall, all types of healthcare, not just hospitals and clinics. And they want to go from reimbursing for sick care. The whole system in our country right now is based on the fact that you get sick, you come to a hospital, your insurance covers that because there's a claim. We want to go to a model where it's based probably 30-40% on well care and 60-70% based upon sick care. Well care is where we really encourage people to connect with their primary care provider, to provide their wellness screenings, a variety of things that way. If individuals that have chronic conditions are admitted into a chronic care management, we want to help people find and resolve issues early in a disease process. And I'm passionate about this. I lost both of my parents to cancer. They, you know, under the traditional system, they went on for years not getting the care they needed. By the time it was found, my mother had a collapsed lung, was taken to the emergency department. She had a tumor in her chest the size of a softball, and she died, 30 days later. My father did the same thing. He had insurance. But our system really is not designed to be cost-effective and to be effective in terms of helping people avoid very serious issues. Most healthcare is self-inflicted. It comes from the way we eat and our exercise and all of that. And we do have an ability, if we work with a healthcare system that is focused on well care versus sick care, to be profitable and to have a system that is effective for patients.
It's a poor analogy, I know, but it's kind of like servicing your car. You'd rather change the oil every 3,000 to 5,000 miles than have the big issue later.
It is. And I use the analogy, you know, there's that famous saying, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. And what does that really mean? Well, there's 16 ounces in a pound. And that what we're saying here is for every sick person that shows up in the hospital and says, hey, I've got, you know, stage four cancer or whatever, there are 16 people who need to be screened for that cancer and find it early in the disease process when we can actually cure it. And that's what, you know, if we can help change, not only in our local community, but nationwide, we can preserve the Medicare Trust Fund, we can preserve healthcare in local communities and be successful.
I notice, of course, you're talking to the public today and our listening audience today, but I see a note here that you're hoping to hold some community forums in the near future. Is it, if that's true, how important is it to get out into the public and talk to the community outside the hospital?
Very important. We need to understand, you know, what are their concerns? What are things that are happening that are causing them to seek care elsewhere or not seek care? Well, either one is detrimental to the organization, and I want to hear their concerns, experiences that they've had. I want to go in and fix those issues and then report back and re-earn their confidence and trust in the organization.
Very good. Before we turn over to Jennifer and her events, anything you want to add that I didn't get covered?
Yeah, I'll be back the last month of March, and I'm hoping to schedule some of those community engagement meetings during that time.
All right, and we'll be happy to publicize that, and I know Jennifer will get us the information. So appreciate it. Jennifer, speaking of information, tell us, well, it's the month of March, so it's Colon Cancer Awareness Month, so you got that event, and also one of the highlights of the year in the auxiliary.
Yes, so, you know, our last Pride Report, we talked about that. March, during the month of March, is Colon Cancer Awareness Month. We started the free colon testing kits. They're available for pickup in the main lobby. We've already had a great response for that, so very pleased that people are coming and taking advantage of that free home test. They will be available throughout the rest of the month of March while our supplies last. And again, pick them up in the main lobby at our front information desk from 8 to 4 p.m. every day. And then the auxiliary has their annual Tupperware sale coming up. They will have all of the newest and greatest products available that are out for Tupperware. I think there's some new spring items that is open to the public, so the public is welcome to come and participate in that. It'll be on Thursday, March 21st from 8:30 in the morning until 2:30 in the afternoon, and that's up in our mezzanine walkway area, so that second floor mezzanine area, and it's a bunch of tables and displays with all of those products. So,
all right, very good. And if you want more information on anything that's going on at Nevada Regional Medical Center, tell them about the website.
The website is www.nrmchealth.com, and we are updating things on there quite frequently and see those banners scrolling across and Pride reports and everything else you want to find on there. So
very good. Well, Jennifer, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Swing the microphone back over real quickly to Jason. Jason, thank you very much. We look forward to seeing the results of your work as you go on. And thanks for coming and being part of the program today.
Thank you. It's an honor to help this community save its hospital.
Very good. That's Jason McCormick, again, Chief Restructuring Officer, taking over those duties at Nevada Regional Medical Center. Of course, being joined by Jennifer Eaton as well today from NRMC. Our next Pride Report 2 weeks from today, just after ABC News at 8 a.m. Until then, I'm Mike Harbit. Thanks for joining us.